This is Patchwork Heart Ministries' Young Catholics Respond, brought to you by Viva Guadalupe. Now, here's your host, Bill Snyder.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of Young Catholics Respond here on Patchwork Heart Radio. My name is Bill Snyder. I'm your host for this episode and could not be more delighted to be joined by Father Frank Pavone, the National Director of Priests for Life, to talk all about the pro-life movement in this half-hour episode. So thanks so much, Father, for joining me here.
Yes, it's good to be back with you again.
All right. So, Father, let's just first start out talking about the state of the pro-life movement and what's going on.
Well, we have, of course, as we have always said, the most fundamental issue of all in front of us here when we talk about the right to life. And it's very important when we talk about the pro-life movement to be very specific that this is a movement that has come about in order to restore to a very specific group of people, namely the children in the womb, a very specific protection, the protection of their life itself. A lot of times the term pro-life is... And it's quite understandable that people use it so broadly that you end up saying, well, every issue is a pro-life issue. I mean, if I want to start a campaign to fix the potholes on the roads in my city, you know, I'm going to do that because I want people to be protected from, you know, the wheel falling off their car and people being hurt or killed. So that's a pro-life issue. You know, I mean, so is everything else. If something is not impacting a human life, why is it an issue at all? So having said that, as we answer this question, we want to say, okay, what we're asking here is, and what we deal with around the clock, how are we doing in advancing the protection of these children in the womb so that they can no longer legally be killed? We're making great progress. We have, for example, in many states right now, two special pieces of legislation that have been introduced and enacted that actually protect these babies from abortion. One of them is called the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act. The focus of the law is that babies in the womb can feel pain. All right. And scientific research has shown that this is earlier and earlier than we ever thought. But for the purposes of the law, it says that once a baby has been in the womb 20 weeks, you got to protect that baby because the state has an interest in keeping children from pain. I mean, my goodness, we have laws to keep animals from pain, right? These laws have been advancing now in multiple states. So it really cuts in half the time of the length of pregnancy in which abortions are allowed, because right now, it's allowed throughout pregnancy for the most part. Then a similar kind of law protects children from dismemberment procedures that, and often these are happening in the second trimester of pregnancy, procedures that are literally tearing the baby apart limb from limb while the baby is alive. And a number of states have enacted laws that say any procedure that would dismember a living child in the womb cannot be legally performed. These two laws are also going to be introduced on the federal level. So we have a big moment coming when America is going to be confronted with a dual question. The question of, you know, should abortions even be done this late in pregnancy, 20, 30 weeks? And B, why would we not protect children from dismemberment? So the movement is making great progress. Just to be at the point where we're going to be able to debate and introduce and pass laws like this. We've won great victories in the political arena. We have a very pro-life president. We have pro-life majorities in both the House, the Senate, and most of the states. I mean, so this is a very big moment for making some very big progress.
Excellent. Excellent stuff, Father. Tell me a little bit about some of the work that still needs to be done. I know here in the state of Illinois has been a big battleground, right? There's been a couple of laws about just abortion in general and making it so available for people, right?
Mm-hmm. And some of the availability, of course, has to do with how it's funded. Mm-hmm. And this is a big battle right now at the present moment and a big part of the agenda of what has to be done, both on the state level and on the federal level. Even people who identify themselves as pro-choice, they don't want their own money being used to kill somebody else's child, even though if theoretically they think that should be legal. So the funding battle is very big. We have very, very strong movement on the federal level to take money away, not only from Planned Parenthood, which is the largest abortion business, but also from insurance policies that would cover elective abortion as an aspect of health care. Abortion is not health care. The states, too, President Trump and the Congress restored to the states a right that President Obama had taken away just at the end of his term, namely to redirect money away from the abortion industry and Planned Parenthood again in particular, and instead send it to clinics that do not kill children. And nevertheless, serving women's health and with just as much money, taxpayer money. These are big battles. And, there are a number of states. Of course, Illinois has always been a difficult state when it comes to pro-life policy. But a number of states now are making it even worse by trying to take away any little obstacle to abortion. We see this happen recently in Oregon and also in Delaware, where, I mean, you've got Democratic control in these states. And the Democratic Party, unfortunately, has become more and more hardened in its position in favor of child killing, these children in the womb. It just doesn't make any sense, but that's the reality of the situation.
And in the media, very few media outlets truly cover the pro-life movement. I mean, they're not portraying pro-life. All they do is cover the pro-choice. And so people out there who are listening to something like this may be thinking we're on the planet Mars right now, because here we are talking about the victories and all the good things going on in the pro-life movement and how more and more people are accepting. I mean, how many people went to the March for Life and barely gets any
coverage?
Well, there
you go. It barely gets any coverage. And yet it's the longest running, largest peaceful civil rights march in American history, and people keep coming by the hundreds of thousands, not just tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people every year. I mean, it's news in and of itself if you have one gathering like that. But every year for 44 years and no sign of it subsiding.
Oh, of course not. No, not until the victory is finally won.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Well, that's fantastic. Talk to us a little bit about the work that has to get done from the people on the ground. You know, where are, you know, the pro-lifers who are serving, you know, outside the abortion clinics and who are praying the rosaries and doing all of this stuff? Tell us about, you know, where we can work, because you see it on a national level.
Yes. Well, first of all, the thing you just mentioned is a key activity for saving lives. Don't be afraid to go out and pray in front of these abortion facilities and be in contact with your local pro-life groups, or look us up at priestsforlife.org, and we'll connect you with the folks that are doing the prayer vigils. We do a lot of them ourselves, of course. And going out there saves lives. It's not that you even have to say anything. Being present at the places where people are going to have their babies killed means that very often when they get there, they see people praying for them and their babies. They turn around just without even anything being said. They know why you were there. We have our signs. And it's like, we need more of you faithful pro-life people who are listening to be out there physically. But here's another thing that's going on. I mentioned a moment ago, of course, we've had some great political victories, and our president is pro-life, the Republican Party is pro-life, but we see a lot of obstruction going on, and what I mean is that good people who come forward, who try to serve their country and in positions of government, are being stonewalled, they're being criticized, they're being their reputations are being unfairly harmed, because the other side does not want to see these good, solid pro-life people, many of them Christians and Catholics, they don't want to see them in positions of authority. What can we do, average person? We've got to inform ourselves about what's going on right now. We elected a lot of people in 2016. The election is over, but the transition isn't. What do I mean? When you elect a presidential administration, for example, there are thousands of people, thousands of positions that need to be filled, thousands of people that need to fill those positions in the various administrations and agencies to get the work of the government done. A lot of those positions have not been filled. And a lot of these positions have to be confirmed by the U.S. Senate, And our enemies in the Senate, pro-abortion senators, are blocking, slowing down a lot of these processes. It's obstruction. And when we inform ourselves what's going on, for example, in our own state, what's going on in the different agencies of the government that directly impact, like, for example, the Department of HHS, Health and Human Services, yeah. directly impacts groups like ours and other pro-life groups. The March for Life, what we mentioned, they're actually in litigation against the HHS because of policies that Obama put into place. But now President Trump wants to change those policies, but he needs the people in these positions. Bottom line is this. Keep yourself informed so that on social media, which I know many of you use, you can speak up in favor of the good people who are trying to get into these positions. This is important. And to communicate with your members of Congress and your senators to say, get the right people into place now. One of the websites we've established to make this easy for you, because I know this is a lot of information, there's a lot of detail. We have a website called stopabortionnow.org. And what that is action alerts. So when an action has to be taken, defend this person, help that person, tell the senators to do this or to vote against that. Stop Abortion Now will give you, friends, the situation, summary of the situation, the action that needs to be taken, the phone number to call, and the message to give. We make it as easy as possible. And we can do all that work, and we are doing it, but nothing can substitute for your voice, your phone call, you taking 5 minutes to jump into the fray. And that's what makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah, I think some people sometimes underestimate just how much of a difference that is by calling your senator. And they think, oh, I'll just pray a rosary.
No, we should pray a rosary. Right, but the praying of the rosary then should lead us to the action,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Lead us to the action. It's like Mary herself. Think about Mary when the Annunciation happened. She could have, she would have had all the justification in the world to say, wow, I've just been given an historic annunciation. I've got to sit here and meditate. I've got to pray a little bit more. I've got to reflect on all this. No, what she did was she got up and she ran into the hill country and she stayed with Elizabeth until John the Baptist was born. She took action. And when we have an authentic encounter with God, with Jesus, with Mary, they expect us to do the same thing. Take that action. And we need you, brothers and sisters. That's why we're talking to you right now.
Exactly. You know what? Let's, before the break, I just have about a minute before the break, Father, but let's just do that one more time about, you know, our faith aspect of all of this. There's a lot in the political arena. There's a lot but going on with, you know, society. But how important is having the faith behind the pro-life movement? What is so crucial about being, you know, a priest for life or a student for life that is, you know, truly Catholic behind this?
Well, because God himself is the heart and soul and foundation of this movement, and he is life. When we are advocating for life, when we are working for life, it is literally God advancing his own kingdom. And that is what sustains us, and that's what defines the whole movement.
Awesome. You're listening to the voice of Father Frank Pavone. He is the National Director of Priests for Life. We have to take a short break here on Patchwork Heart Radio. We will be right back with more from Father Frank after these words.
The words spoken by Our Lady of Guadalupe to Juan Diego nearly 500 years ago are almost too good to be true. Asking that a temple be built at the site of her apparition, she promised that here I will give all my love, my compassion, my help, and my protection to all those who love me, cry to me, seek me, and who have confidence in me. Here I will listen to their weepings and alleviate all their sufferings, necessities, and misfortunes. My name is Alan Napleton, and I live in Dallas, Texas. I have visited her shrine in Mexico City dozens of times, bringing my own petitions, and have found Our Lady to be true to her word. Over the years, I have brought hundreds of pilgrims to this holy place without incidents, and have now founded Viva Guadalupe, a nonprofit that provides safe and inexpensive pilgrimages to Our Lady's shrine. If you would like to take our Blessed Mother up on her promise and learn more about how you can visit this special place of grace, please visit vivaguadalupe.org for more information.
This is Martha Fernandez-Sardina with your Love Minute, brought to you by rememberyouarelove.com. You know what I like to say? You need to get a lover and be a lover. You need to get God as your lover so that you might learn how to love well, always, everywhere, no matter what difficulties come our way, all the unlove that we've received, all the hatred that we encounter. And then as we fill our love tank and become more like God, you and I can be a lover. We can be men and women who lay down our lives for others, uprooting from our hearts all selfishness, all pride, all the sinful things that do not allow us to live 1 Corinthians 13 and be patient, kind, enduring, forgiving. You want to get a lover? Find God. You want to be a lover? Be like God. For more on love and the CD and DVD, Get a Lover, Be a Lover, find us at facebook.com/rememberyouareloved. And remember, you are loved.
Welcome back to Young Catholics Respond. Once again, Bill Snyder.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to this episode of Young Catholics Respond on Patchwork Heart Radio. I am Bill Snyder, and we're talking with Father Frank Pavone, the National Director of Priests for Life, about all things pro-life today on this episode. But I want to talk to you a little bit about the shift in people. We talked about it, in culture, but now let's talk about it in terms of people. Tell me some of the great conversion stories, Father, of people who formerly believed in being pro-choice to pro-life.
Well, you know, first of all, let me say, and I think those who follow the movement and follow Catholic radio probably know this, but just a matter of months ago, one of the most famous conversion stories, that of Norma McCorvey, who was the Jane Roe of Roe versus Wade, Norma passed away. And she died in February, and I was privileged to have mentored her and received her into the Catholic Church, but she was technically the winner of the case that legalized abortion, Roe v. Wade. And you know, her story lives on in our midst, and one that people need to never forget. And it's written up, and we have a lot of information about her on our Priests for Life website. So she sort of is the epitome, if you will, of a change from quote-unquote pro-choice to pro-life. Not just a change in attitude, a change in behavior. She worked all the latter years of her life to see abortion be a thing of the past. Now, under Norma's influence, many other people have come to be converted, and I'm thinking of one young woman, a 16-year-old girl in particular, who wrote to me and said, you know, 5 minutes ago, I was totally pro-choice, and now my eyes are covered with tears as I realize how wrong I was to permit the murder of these babies. Now, what would be able to change a person in the span of 5 minutes between those two positions? I'll tell you what it was. It was the pictures of aborted babies. There is nothing that we do, and we cover the entire gamut of pro-life activities. We talk about it together here on these programs. But nothing that we do shows more dramatic impact to convert people away from supportive abortion than actually showing them abortion. You know, that's the big question when you think about it. That's the big question people skip over. Mm-hmm. They start arguing about abortion without defining it. They start philosophizing, moralizing, you know, should this be legal? Is this health care? Is this women's rights? But is what health care? Is what women's rights? Let's start by defining our terms. And there's no better way to define abortion than to see abortion. Many people quote me as saying, America will not reject abortion until America sees abortion. And so on our website, we have a special website, by the way, unborn.info. At unborn.info, people by their own choosing can browse around and see what does abortion do to the baby. And I'll tell you, we have so many emails like this young 16-year-old who said, my gosh, I just, nobody ever showed me this before. Right. I hear the arguments, I hear people yelling, I see people marching, but no one ever showed me what this is all about. So I praise God. The change is happening. We see it all the time. I want people to understand the movement. When you talk about change, people moving from one position to another, with very, very, very few exceptions, mostly politicians who are under political pressure, with those few exceptions, the movement is in our direction. Mm. People are changing from support for abortion to heartfelt opposition to it.
Yeah, and that's a great thing that when the masses kind of rise up,
yes,
underneath all this elite whatever you want to media,
yes, yes,
elite politicians,
right?
You know, it's going to take the people. It's going to take us to combine together to defeat this. and you're watching it. You're leading that. You're leading that ground march.
It is a populist movement. And that's why this is the answer, by the way, to the question I'm often asked. Why are there so many different pro-life groups? You know, some people, I mean, you see pro-life groups springing up like grass. That's the point. The reason there's so many different pro-life groups is that there's nobody up at the top saying, hey, all you groups now come into existence. You know, no, they're not coming into existence because someone is telling them to. They're coming into existence because people sitting in their living rooms, around the water cooler at work, people in their homes are realizing, wait a minute, children are being killed. We've got to stop this. It's not even essentially a Catholic insight or even a religious insight. It's a basic human insight, which of course then religion intensifies and clarifies and fortifies. But at its root is a human response to saying, well, we have to protect our own children. Yeah. So this is where you see this grassroots movement. Now, once that grassroots movement arises, it requires coordination. There has to be leadership. There has to be guidance. And that's, of course, where I feel so privileged to play a role in that, together with so many other pro-life leaders. And friends, it involves all of you. You know, take that. You know, you're not the crazy ones. We're not the crazy ones who stand up and our hearts are aching and yearning and our voices are shouting from the rooftops. We've got to protect these children. You know, we're not the ones that should feel like we're insane. It's the people who are not shouting at all. It's the people who are not upset in the least. It's the people who are not losing a moment's sleep over the fact that abortion is happening. They're the ones who have the craziness and an unhealthy response. But to be agitated about this, to be ready to be mobilized, to be feeling like, please tell me what to do. Yeah. I need to do something. You are in the right place if you're feeling that way, and we're ready to help you do it.
And that's great. And, you know, let's segue into that, Father, as you just did so beautifully. You've got Priests for Life. It's an amazing organization. You visit
Thank
all
you.
The different websites you have. I mean, you have, Dr. Alveda King working
right.
with you. I mean, there's so many people just part of your organization. It's incredible. You've really taken every facet of this movement on. Tell us about the many things you're doing, to build up the pro-life movement from Facebook Lives all the way down to websites.
Well, social media is a big part of it. It's a great way we see it. We see, you know, the president and the Pope tweeting, both of them, you know,
right.
And it's influencing politics. It's influencing everything. So prolifesocialmedia.com is another website I'd like you all to remember. Pro-life social media is a place where we have listed some of the key engagements of our ministry, our family of ministries, whereby through Facebook Live videos, through Instagrams and tweets and other platforms, we're helping. It's not only a matter of getting the message out, because we do that. And, you know, like I was just saying about, yeah, you look at abortion and, you know, you wake up. So we allow people to the opportunity to do that. But it's more than that. It's the connecting of people who are of like mind, who we might never find in any other way except through those social media platforms. So that's a big place to be involved, right from your own smartphone, right from your own computer. Get involved on these social media platforms, exchange comments, you know, we put up a pro-life post, like it, share it. This is powerful, very powerful. Secondly, we're working in the political and legislative arena. So I mentioned before, stopabortionnow.org. You know, your members of Congress need to hear from you. Your state legislators, they need to hear from you. This is a great way to be involved and to mobilize to make a difference. Thirdly, what we're doing is we're helping churches provide their congregations with life-saving information. We network with all the pregnancy centers nationwide, with all the different ministries that are providing help to a mom who's afraid to be a mom, to someone who doesn't know where to turn except to the abortionist. We're reaching out and we're saying, no, there's help available. But if the churches don't announce that, if the pastors don't know that, a lot of people are going to slip through the cracks.
Yes.
So you all, every one of you, can help spread the word about the alternatives to abortion. Simple websites like pregnancycenters.org. Where people can just put in their zip code and find the help nearest to them. We need to all join together. I mean, there are people who specialize in actually doing this work,
Yeah.
But we can all join together in publicizing it and reaching the people who today need that help, but just don't know about it. Mm-hmm. We do it. Priests for Life is doing a work where all the churches are being called upon. Put this information front and center.
Yeah.
Church website, parish bulletin, a sign on the property, a bulletin board in the vestibule. You should be trumpeting this information. And every one of you who goes to church, you can echo what we're trying to do by putting this information into the hands of the pastors. Those are some of the things. Alveda King, reaching the black community. Then, of course, you have Silent No More. Brothers and sisters, one of the most powerful ways and one of those powerful reasons why people are moving from pro-abortion to pro-life is that they're hearing the voice of experience, moms, dads who have participated in the killing of their own children, now repenting. SilentNoMore.com. Silent No More is our platform for giving these people a chance to say what they did, confess, testify. I mean, Christianity gets passed on from age to age through testimony.
Right.
You know, Augustine's confessions, you know, it's testimony to the power of God. These people are testifying that abortion is a lie, doesn't solve any problems, it only creates new ones, but there is grace and healing in Jesus Christ. And once one has that healing, one can then save many other lives. You, my friends who are listening, you can take these testimonies and you can use them online. You can use them if you yourself are a preacher, a deacon, a priest. You can use them in your homilies. If you write, if you blog, you can use them in your writing. You can use them in private conversation. There's nothing more powerful than the voice of experience, and that's why we provide these testimonies for you, my friends, to use to show people, not by fancy philosophical argument that has its place, but for most people, telling a story is the way to do it, you know, and it works.
Yes, you are right, Father. You know, telling your story is one of the most important things you can possibly do, your testimony of faith. And when someone has an abortion and then that heart-wrenching thing and come to realize the faith that they can find in Jesus Christ and the redemption they can find in Jesus Christ, it's very powerful. It can change hearts, and it does. It captivates hearts.
Well, and you know, when I hear the term new evangelization, this is one of the key examples of you. But imagine, I mean, new methodologies for the age-old gospel. What is the gospel? Christ died for our sins. We have freedom in him. We rise up. Well, now new methodologies, men and women, and not only moms and dads, grandparents, siblings, friends, former abortionists who have repented. We have gatherings where all these types of people are coming together in the same place at the same time and saying, Christ has set me free from the lie of abortion. And this is the proclamation of the gospel.
Yeah.
This is when you're a new methodology of alerting people that Christ indeed is the Savior. I mean, if he can save somebody from killing their own children, well, he can save us from anything.
That's so true. Father, as we're wrapping up, I always like to ask you for your priestly blessing on us and all our listeners.
Great. Well, friends, may the Holy Spirit, who is the advocate, who speaks up for us in the heights of heaven, fill you and make you advocates for your youngest brothers and sisters, the children in the womb. And may he bless and protect you and your loved ones in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Father. This has been a wonderful episode of Young Catholics Respond here on Patchwork Heart Radio. Until next time, from all of us here at Patchwork Heart Ministry, I'm Bill Snyder. Keep beating to your Catholic heart.
This has been an episode of Young Catholics Respond. For more information about this program or Patchwork Heart Ministry, visit patchworkheart.org. That's patchworkheart.org. Or email info@patchworkheart.org.